So welcome to the next episode of the Shadowboard podcast. Today we're delighted to be joined by Claire Hensman, Her Majesty's representative, the Lord Lieutenant of Cumbria. So thank you for joining us today.
Well, it's a great pleasure.
Okay, so first of all, Mrs. Hensman, could you first outline a bit about what the Lord Lieutenancy involves and what that role entails?
The Lord Lieutenant, as I mentioned, is the Queen's representative in the county. My primary duty is to uphold the dignity of the Crown. In the directions that I received when I first was appointed, I seek to promote a sense of cooperation and goodwill and encourage volunteering and foster a strong community feel about the county. It's a very wide remit for all areas of activity. So it covers business and industry, but mostly, as far as I'm concerned, voluntary organisations. But also there is an additional function because the history of the lieutenancy is military. So I support military insofar as there is a presence here in Cumbria, which means the cadets, which is the biggest presence, but the reserve forces and the veterans in particular as well. And also the charities related to the military charities, the Royal British Legion, the Army Benevolent Fund and SAFA. And I end up as the local patron or local president of their particular branch. So Cumbria will have a branch of SAFA and branches of British Legion and the ABF, Army Benevolent Fund. The other thing, main thing I do is I play an active part in promoting the honours system. I encourage nominations for personal honours, and I present some of those, the ones for local awards, the British Empire Medal. That is an enormous privilege. I meet some of the most wonderful people who've really contributed in a voluntary capacity to their communities. They make so much difference just within their local areas. Honours also come for impact on a larger area, so within the county, if you have done something exceptional and it benefits the community on a county basis, you might get an MBE. If it's regional and your impact is regional, you get an OBE. And if it's national, it's a CBE. And then obviously knighthoods, but we don't see very many of those in Cumbria, and we don't see many CBEs. A lot of CBEs retire here, but we don't seem to have many who actually get that one. But we do get OBEs, and we could always do with more. I mean, I'm looking for other people to nominate, people who are worthwhile. It's lovely. They get recognition, and that's a good thing. There are other awards, the Queen's Awards for Voluntary Service. Now, we've done better recently. We've got some amazing voluntary organisations. And this year, we were able to put forward six nominations. And four of them got awards. I'm sorry for the two that didn't, but I think that they're doing wonderful work, but they didn't quite meet the criteria for what was required for the award. But super organisations, and then there's one which, as I'm being interviewed by you, is I think very relevant to the business cluster, is the Queen's Award for Enterprise. Now there are four categories for that, and we need more awards in Cumbria. The categories are one for export, one for innovation, one is sustainability, and one is for encouraging social mobility. Though I think probably the innovation and the export ones are the ones we would normally expect to see. We've had one award winner this year. Sorry it wasn't more, but it was Createch, who's based in Cockermouth. Spin out from React Engineering, and last year they got it for export, and this year they got it for innovation. And you do have to be exceptional. Now, we've got a lot of exceptional companies here. They're small and medium-sized companies, and some people are doing very innovative stuff, and I'd love them to put their names forward. I'm told I've asked for evidence so that evidence of impact of getting an award, and I'm told that if certainly for export, 70% of the people who won awards can see an increase in sales, export sales. It's worth having. And I think, you know, as far as the Middle Eastern is and China is concerned, that logo saying Queen's Award, which I think is valid for about 5 years, makes a difference.
It must mean a huge amount to companies, and it's obviously such a, it carries such kudos
and
credibility
kudos
across the county, really, yeah.
That's right. So I'm for this year, it's probably a bit late because the forms are quite complicated, but it's free to enter. And the closing date this year is the 1st, I think, or 2nd of September. I think it's 1st of September. And you hear whether you've got an award on the 21st of April, Queen's actual birthday next year, if you've got through. But even if you're too late this year, please, I would urge any small companies that just look on the web, on Google, the Queen's Award for Enterprise, and see if you fit any of those categories. I've got a small committee. I have about 30 deputies. And I've got a small committee, subcommittee, of among those of businessmen. And we are trying to urge more companies to go for it, because Cumbria is known for its nuclear. It's known Sellafield in particular, and it's known for BAE Systems building really high-tech things, world-class engineering, world-class nuclear scientists. And also for Glaxo had a big presence. Sadly, that's not going to last. But we also have, I think maybe, again, these are probably old spin-outs, the technology with the LEDs. We've got a cluster, certainly in the south of the county, really exciting companies. Marl and Forge Europa, and I'm sure there are others that there's also somebody doing wave technology. We've got some really innovative people, and then up here there are some exciting people on nuclear spin-outs. And,
totally, yes. We'll certainly pass on that sort of recommendation for businesses to get involved with the Queen Awards for Enterprise, and we'll hopefully see some more entering.
There is one other job I have, which is, and it's historical again, is to do with the magistrates, the magistracy, who are wonderful volunteers, and they are making sure that we have local justice. You are then judged by your peers. We have a crisis at the moment. Crime was supposedly going down, and soon not enough recruits were recruited 10 years ago for about 4 or 5 years, and the average age of magistrates is too high. We desperately need more magistrates, and it is a question of having younger people, but obviously there is a problem, they're employed, and it is a commitment of 13 full days a year, which is more than one a month. It's generally around once a fortnight. There are great skills you learn by being a magistrate. Judgment, analytical skills, all sorts of things, and finding out about life and how other people live as well. So it's a great benefit to the employers, even if they have to give up those people for half a day or whatever it is, a fortnight. And of course, they're trained free by the court system. I would urge anybody, I think applications are still open for this current round. Please, I need more magistrates. Of course, one of the things I do is deal with the royal visits. We've had quite a lot this year. We are terribly lucky. We get almost an annual visit by the Prince of Wales. And he's been coming ever since Foot and Mouth, every year. And I work out with the assistant private secretary, who specialises in rural affairs, what we can show the prince. So I go with ideas to Clarence House, and we discuss a possible itinerary so that we don't spend the whole day travelling, that we try and group it in one area. But give a mix of something rural, something to do with a company, something to do with a charity, and something maybe that suits what the prince wants to do. The prince is on a mission. He has put so much into our farming and farmers, supportive of our farmers and our landscape. And he really appreciates the beauty of our landscape and how it's manufactured. You know, it's a long-term manufactured landscape. And so he was very supportive of the World Heritage Site. But anyway, so that's the Prince of Wales, we're very incredibly lucky. And just to say, seeing him talking to farmers in their kitchens, he's very knowledgeable. He's a wonderful, wonderful advocate for us. We also have the Princess Royal. She came here, and she came to the West Coast. She's a regular visitor. I'm incredibly lucky there. They each have their interests. The Duke of Gloucester was an architect, so he's always interested in new buildings and how people have converted and restored old buildings. We had the Cambridges there. Now that was not quite a first for me, because they came actually when I was first appointed, and they went to BAE Systems, and they saw run the Devonshire Dock Hall.
This time it was Keswick, is that right?
And this time it was Keswick, and also a farm in Ullswater, because again they, I think, have realised. They also have absorbed the beauty of the landscape, and they want to make sure that they understand what some of the issues are. But they came to Keswick and they met with a whole bunch of people who we had collected together thanks to help from the Community Foundation, who I'm president of the Community Foundation, and they're terribly knowledgeable about the small organisations. And this is what it was all about, meeting the small organisations, people making a difference. I was delighted we were able to introduce them to a group of young people from Ewenrigg or around that area who have pioneered a mental health project, and they call We Will. We got about 10 of them, and they were able to talk to them about mental health, which, of course, the Cambridges are focusing in on, because they have appreciated what problems there are.
Brilliant.
And various other small charities. It was really exciting.
So that's really interesting to know what the role involves. But how do you actually become the Lord Lieutenant?
Well, that was the last thing I was ever expecting to be. It's a question of being tapped on the shoulder. It's not something you aspire to be or are lucky enough. It just happens, I'm afraid,
There's no online application then.
There's no online application. The consultations, the clerk of the Privy Council came up and consulted. I just happened to have been the High Sheriff for a year. So I had a higher profile. And I think I was reasonably well known in the voluntary sector. And having been High Sheriff, I had got round the county, so I had a county view, because we are actually quite parochial, some of us. You live in the West Coast, or you're North, or you're South, and there's North-South divide and West. But the High Sheriff job means that you do get round. And I think also they were looking for a woman. There hadn't been a woman Lord Lieutenant in Cumbria before.
And obviously today we have both a woman Lord Lieutenant and a female High Sheriff as well.
Isn't that? Yep, fantastic. So we're breaking new ground. And I think, as I say, I've done quite a lot in the voluntary sector. I did a stint on the Westmorland Hospitals Trust. I had been on the council at Lancaster University. I've just finished 9 years on the board of the University of Cumbria.
Oh, fantastic.
And what else have I done? There is things that came with the job of Lord Lieutenant. So I had known the Community Foundation, the Cumbria Community Foundation. My husband had been a previous chairman of it. But with the Lord Lieutenant, they want you to have a position. So I'm president, currently president. And I think I will be for the duration of my tenure as Lord Lieutenant. And I retire when I'm 75.
Is that a guarantee?
Is that on my 75th birthday, fall off a cliff. And
is that set by you or set by the role?
I think actually by an Act of Parliament. I think there is a Lord Lieutenant's Act, 1997, where they specified this.
There we go.
So yeah, then I'm history.
I wouldn't try to say.
So I've done it for. I'm in my seventh year. They want 10 years out of you. They want continuity. That's the difference between the Lord Lieutenant in part and the High Sheriff, who just does it for 1 year.
So I've heard lots about the formalities of your role there, Mrs. Hensman, but let's hear a bit about you.
Right. Well, I'm not a northerner by birth. I was brought up in Somerset. My parents were both doctors. I was incredibly lucky. They were very keen on education, and it was assumed I would go to university. I'm afraid I let my mother down. I didn't go to Oxford, which is what she wanted me to do. She had been at Oxford, and my father was at Oxford. And my brothers went to Cambridge, so it was assumed I would naturally get there, but I'm afraid I didn't pass them. I didn't pass the right exams. So I went to London. I went to LSE, London School of Economics, which I didn't enjoy. There was a lot of student unrest. It was in the 60s. But it was a really good education to see how people were manipulated. It was a very political place. And I was very shocked as being a sort of wide-eyed, I thought, open to any views. But it was very interesting to see the political manipulation of students by some pretty savvy people. If you didn't agree with them, or you had a different view, they would go for you, the person, not your argument. So there was never any debate. You were unacceptable unless you agreed with them. I fear we're coming back to a certain extent in debate these days, and I regret it. But it was quite an eye-opener. I passed more than I failed, and they gave me a law degree, which was useful, but I've not used it. I then went off and cooked to just get away from everything, because for a year.
Just for a total sort of breakaway from just what you used to?
Yes. And
almost a sort of sabbatical.
Well, it was. It was fantastic. I cooked in Greece. I was known as a Murray bird. I was a chalet girl. Great fun for about 4 or 5 months.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't cook. But I was number two, the skivvy, so I learnt, and by watching somebody else who had a cordon bleu course, I learnt how to cook. And then it was such fun, I went off to Switzerland and did it there for the season for that, and that was enormous fun.
Fantastic.
And I met my husband there. He skied, and I learnt to ski. Then I went into the city for a career, investment management. My husband's family are Cumbrian, many generations. They were Quaker bankers in the Wakefields in Kendal. And my husband Peter's grandfather said he wanted him to get more involved. Peter's was an accountant with Price Waterhouse. So we came up. We just started a family. And in fact, Peter didn't work for the family company for about 20 years, but he gave advice. But he was involved with Jilks Engineering, the Gilbert Jilks and Gordon in Kendal, who are pump makers and turbine manufacturers. And he ended up as managing director of that for about 10 years. And so that's why we came up. And I had this small family, and I couldn't see where investment management was going. I couldn't see anything. So I just started volunteering for things. The Bendry Trust was the first place, and then I got invited to join the Council of Lancaster University. And I got sort of sucked into various things.
As it happens.
And I mean, I think that short career in the city gave me some financial expertise. I'm not qualified as an accountant, but I can read balance sheets and know a bit about investment. So that has helped.
So myself and I'm a part of the BEC BC Shadow Board, which is a group of people aged 18 to 30. So I'm just interested to know, what's your advice for kind of young people in Cumbria? Kind of, you touched on some development things like magistrates and things like that, but what would you kind of, the nuggets you would give to young people here to kind of develop their career?
Well, just try everything is what I'm going to say to young people. Just open your minds and try everything. We all learn differently, so you may not feel a great success at school, and I wasn't either. But we all learn differently. So some people are really practical. And then they just get the confidence by being success. If you can succeed and find something you're good at, that'll give you the confidence to go on and do things you didn't think you could do, because you've got a sort of mental block that, oh, I can't do maths. But actually, you find you can do maths, because you see the relevance of what you need to know, and then it doesn't become the major hurdle. So, and get yourself out. This is the most beautiful, beautiful place. Get yourself outdoors. Don't, for heaven's sake, sit all the time behind a screen. And join something to get yourself out, doing outdoor things, physical challenges. Rather than loitering on the streets and saying, oh, I'm bored, go out and get a skill. Join something. I've seen the cadets, what the cadets can offer. I'm afraid, you know, 18, you're probably too old, but you could become an adult volunteer. You could go in the scouts and become an adult volunteer. Terribly short of young volunteers who can give back, but learn at the same time. You learn so much by volunteering. And when it comes to, when I see people now, young people, I don't know how they've missed out, but maybe they come from families that don't budget, and today we have instant gratification. But learn to budget, and that means you start to save for something you want, rather than have it immediately and end up in debt. And there's nothing worse than being in debt, because it can spiral out of control, particularly on a credit card. So budgeting is critical. And budgeting at any age is critical. And it's just worth having a fund for a rainy day. Having said that, debt is different. Debt, you don't want debt for living. You can borrow for capital. Borrow to buy yourself a house, or buy yourself an asset that isn't going to deteriorate in value horribly. But so that then you end up with more assets as you grow older, against which you've got for a rainy day. I think that's my advice. I was high sheriff 10 years ago, and that set me really to have a passion about Cumbria. And the more I've got to know it and the people, and as Lord Lieutenant, the doors have opened for me. I get really passionate about Cumbria. I can bore the world for Cumbria, really. There is so much to offer here. And my sadness has been that in the past, young people used to leave because there was nothing for them. There is so much for them now. Maybe they have to go away, but I want them to come back. But even now, we now have a university, which we didn't have before. And there are skills that the university can offer by higher level apprentices and degrees which weren't available. So, and what is exciting about the university under the current regime and the Vice Chancellor, Professor Mennell, is they are going out in among the employers, finding out what the employers need and what skills the university can help them supply. And they may not be full degrees, but they're you know, continuing professional development or diplomas or extras, credits that will be so helpful to increase and help the skill base here. And of course, people can start off in further education and then move through to degree level. And that's, again, they don't have to go away. The university is supplying, for instance, I mean, a lot of project management is going on at Sellafield and the various contracts with some very substantial national employers, which the university has contracted. And if you want to be a policeman, and they are going to be recruiting 20,000 new police, there is a very well recognised policing degree which you can do at the University of Cumbria. We're short of teachers. It's had a very well rated, it's good rated teacher training. So a PGC after a first degree. There are all sorts of things that we have now in Cumbria that weren't available. We are getting better, and with good education, aspirations about what is possible will rise among everybody at all levels, whether you're academic or not, and expectations of behaviour and what you can do with your lives, which can be so much more positive.
So thank you very much for your time, Mr. Tensman. It's been a delight today. It's been great to hear about some of your views for young people and a bit about your journey, but obviously as well hear about the very historic and prominent role that is the Lord Lieutenant of Cumbria.
It's been a pleasure.